And joining us now via Skype is Senator Ben Cardin, who's the ranking Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator, other than the terrible human toll in Somalia, what are the consequences here for the U.S.?
Well, it's a horrible tragedy, and our prayers go out to those who were victimized by this act of terror. We know that there are forces in Somalia that are trying to disrupt an orderly way to restore democracy in that country, and we can't let them succeed. We have to continue to support the democratic movement in Somalia. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. It's not only the internal terrorism we see. Some of this is coming from outside of Somalia.
There are also reports today that Iraqi forces have attacked Kurdish fighters in the city of Kirkuk. The U.S. military today said the exchange of fire was a misunderstanding. What do you make of it?
Well, we know that there are competing forces in the region, and miscalculations occur. We have to stay focused because our coalition is a fragile coalition made up of different interests, and we have to make sure that we avoid these types of conflicts. Obviously, they can become deadly, and they can really disrupt the end result, which is to have representative governments for all communities.
You think it's a coincidence that this happened right after the president decided not to recertify the Iran deal?
I don't know if there's a relationship there or not. Clearly, the president's decision not to certify in Iran was one that was met with disfavor globally. I don't know of any country anywhere in the world that supported what President Trump did.
Other than Israel.
Other than Israel, right. It makes it more difficult for the United States to have the credibility globally to negotiate agreements, whether it's Iran or whether it's North Korea or whether it's Syria. It just puts us in jeopardy as far as our world credibility is concerned. We don't live up to our agreements.
So just going back to what we were talking about a moment ago, if the Kurds and the Iraqi government do turn against each other, what should the U.S. do?
Well, the Kurdish issue is a challenging issue. It's not a simple issue. We know that they want independence. We also understand that there are Kurdish issues in many other countries in addition to Iraq. So you can't necessarily just settle one area in Iraq and expect that the region will be peaceful in regards to the Kurdish populations. So it needs to be dealt with in context to a government in Iraq that represents all the ethnic communities and can maintain stability and avoid extremists and terrorists having a safe haven in their country.
And so you see the future of Iraq as one Iraq, not multiple Iraqs governed by different populations?
I think the governance of the Kurdish population in Iraq is something that has to be resolved. There are different alternatives that could be without an independent country. But that issue needs to be resolved to the satisfaction of the Iraqi country as a central country, as well as the Kurdish population.
On the Iran nuclear deal, you were one of four Senate Democrats who opposed that agreement in 2015, but you were against President Trump's decision last week to refuse to recertify the deal. Now it goes to Congress. What do you think Congress should do?
Well, let me tell you where I think Congress needs to be very careful. We don't want to do anything that would violate the JCPOA, that's the nuclear agreement, because then the United States would be the party violating the agreement. Iran would be free to do whatever they wanted to, and the United States would be the guilty party. Secondly, we can't do this in isolation with Europe. Congress cannot renegotiate an agreement. Only the president can do that working with our European partners. But there are problems that we need to work with. Congress has already passed new strong sanctions against Iran for non-nuclear violations. The president should implement those sanctions that we passed. There are areas within the nuclear agreement that should be talked about sooner rather than later, including how do you enforce Iran's commitment never to have a nuclear weapon, particularly after the sunset dates. There are issues that should be talked about now by the president with our European allies and all the partners in the nuclear agreement, but Congress can't do that.
Has the president talked to you about this as the ranking Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee?
I've had conversations with his representatives on this issue, including his national security advisor and the Secretary of State. I have not talked directly with the president about it.
We learned today that President Trump is going to go to Asia next month. And among other things, he's going to be having bilateral meetings with President Duterte of the Philippines, who human rights groups have accused of directing thousands of extrajudicial killings in his country's bloody crackdown on drugs. Do you think it's appropriate for the president to be meeting with him?
Well, I think the president has the right to meet with heads of state, including the head of the Philippines. But I do hope that he will make it very clear that he will be raising these human rights concerns. The president of the Philippines has had an open war against its civilian population and has had a lot of extrajudicial killings. That is unacceptable. And if the president meets with the president of the Philippines, that needs to be on the agenda, and there needs to be public statements made by the president. Otherwise, it gives credence that it may be acceptable behavior.
That's Senator Ben Cardin, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.